Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit will help us to think about you, what you want to teach us this morning. Amen. So we've just played that like and don't like game, and we found out that a lot of our children like or love chocolate and don't like sprouts very much. But like actually isn't a word that we think of when we think of God or when we think of the Bible. Love is a key word, isn't it, in Scripture? And it's a word we can really use. But like's not really like that. It's a bit lukewarm. You know, we have the Revelation warning about not being lukewarm, about how God wants us to be hot for him and not cold or lukewarm. And the word like doesn't begin to describe what's happening in today's story and what we can learn from that. Because here we have this love story where Jacob's love for Rachel leads him to labour to win her. So I'd like us this morning to be challenged to think about our love of God and whether we're willing to go out for him in the same way that Jacob was for Rachel. I wonder what some of your passions are. I wonder what we're willing to invest our time in. Maybe have a moment to think about some of the things you get really excited about, passionate about, that you really care about. Maybe it's the environment, or maybe you're really into your sport. Maybe you get really passionate and excited about food, or about snow, or about chocolate, or about horses, or about our homework, who knows? I wonder what things you're passionate and excited about. I've always had a passion for cricket. That's always been a game I've loved. And sort of confession time here. When I was a bit younger, I used to love those dice cricket games. Now you do them all on the computer, but I don't know if anyone remember those games where you had to roll dice and keep lots of scores. And I'd be the person who'd go along to a cricket match with a book and write down all the minute details of what was going on. Or get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to listen to our test match on the radio from Australia when England sometimes used to win. And I remember those cold winter mornings and getting under the blankets listening to my little radio. I think I was willing to invest a lot more time in that than I was in homework, which might explain some of my results at school. So don't listen to that, anyone, please, especially if you've got homework to do this afternoon. But let's have a look at the story of Jacob and think about his passion, his love for Rachel, and what that can teach us about God, and also, hopefully, about ourselves. Because today's passage is an example of how God can take a broken or messy life and bring about his purpose. And I think that's really important, because all of our lives are a little bit broken, a little bit messy in some way. Perhaps not as much as Jacob. He ended up marrying sisters and having 13 children with 4 different women. But still, our lives can get a little bit messy. Jacob was told, though, that despite this, God would multiply his descendants. And this is God, because God, as Romans tells us, is able to make all things work together for good. We know this passage, I'm sure, quite well, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What an amazing passage, and something that we see evident in the story of Jacob. Jacob, you know, he was the guy who tricked his dad, Isaac. If you remember the story, Jacob was the younger twin and Esau was the older one, and Esau should have been the one who got the inheritance, who got the blessing from his dad. But Jacob pretended to be Esau. And in our children's group 2 weeks ago, we dressed one of the children up with a beard and lots of hairy clothing because Isaac was blind and had to use his sense of touch to identify which son came to him. And Jacob tricked his dad and pretended to be Esau and ended up with the blessing. But this is the same Jacob who God used to do amazing things. I was thinking about a couple of other people in Scripture as well who God uses to do amazing things, even though they mess things up. And I'm just wondering if I can borrow a couple of children just to do a bit of impromptu acting. I'm looking at Kethan and Sonia. Will you come up? Well done. They did not know I was going to ask them. Come onto the stage here. But they are brilliant at this sort of thing. So, one of the stories I was thinking of was the story of Jonah. So can you be Jonah splashing about in the water? And can you be the great fish or the great whale coming along to swallow her up? So you go over there
That's great. Let's move that one there. So as you know, Jonah had been told by God that he had to go to Nineveh to tell the people there that they were leading bad lives. And he'd run away in the opposite direction. And there'd been a great storm. Jonah had got on this boat and there was a great storm. And they'd thrown Jonah into the water, thinking that Jonah was the cause of this. So there's Jonah splashing about, can't swim very well, great big waves. And this fish or whale comes along and swallows Jonah up. And gently, I know she's your sister, but there we go, you're a gentle fish. You're not a shark. And Jonah's in there for 3 days. Look at the resemblance there of Jesus in the tomb. 3 days thinking, you know, saying, sorry, God, sorry for what I've done. Please give me this chance. And the story ends up with Jonah, and don't actually doing this whale, spitting out Jonah onto the beach of the island where Nineveh is. There we go, brilliant. And Jonah can do her thing. And then I was thinking of the story of David. You know how the Philistines were around their country, and their champion Goliath, a bit tall, you sort of grow a bit there, brilliant, well done. Their champion Goliath was saying, "You choose your best warrior, and if you beat me, then your country will have won the battle. And if I beat you, you'll be our slaves." And David went, no one else would volunteer. David, this small shepherd boy, a bit smaller, brilliant, went. He couldn't wear the king's armor because they were just too heavy. Just went with his stones and his sling that he used to protect the sheep. And Goliath, roaring with laughter, how dare you come at me? David just slings a stone, knocks Goliath. Be careful there. Well done. We don't want any health and safety incidents here. Especially with a net in the building. There we go. To the ground and wins the battle. And David becomes this great hero of God. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you very much.
But these two people, David is used by God in amazing ways, even though later on he does some horrible things. He gets rid of the wife of the person he wants. He gets rid of the husband of the girl he wants to marry and has him killed. And Jonah, of course, rejecting God and running away. But God uses these people. Think of how God used Peter. Peter, who rejected Jesus, said, "I don't know you, Jesus," even though he declared how he would be with Jesus till the end. But then a few days later on the beach, Jesus saying, "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times. And of course, Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." And then Peter is given this commission to be in charge of the church and speaks out for God in so many great ways. People who made, whose lives were a bit of a mess, but God used them despite getting things wrong. That's an amazing story for us to take. Because our service to God is to be a labour of love. And this is the only way to ensure that to labour, because we have a prize that's worth labouring for. Jacob laboured for Rachel. Our prize is eternal, to be with God, to be with Jesus forever. Our service to the King won't be unreasonable if we labour for this crown that will never pass away. James says, "Do not every good gift, every perfect gift is from God above, coming from the Father of lights." What an amazing thing. God gives us this gift of his word to help us to understand how he wants to be. And in Philippians 2 we read, "So then, my beloved, just as you always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because it's God at work in you, both to your will and to work for his good pleasure." You see, God has called us to serve him, and he will lead us to the right place at the right time, and he'll supply for our every need. And when we wonder, he'll correct us with the gracious gift of renewal, just as he did for David, for Jonah, for Peter, for Jacob. And sometimes that journey can be hard. It can seem like our work is unappreciated. But that's when we turn our eyes on Jesus. We look to the Lamb of God, because he's the goal for which we labour, the master we serve. We learn to let God lead. Because God doesn't change. He keeps his promises. He was with Jacob in Haran. He was with David, with Jonah, with Peter. They were willing to labour for God, just as Jacob laboured for Rachel, out of love. And that's the same God that's faithful to us in all things. So may our labour and our lives reflect our love for for him. Amen. Father, we thank you that you do keep your promises. We thank you that you are the good gift, the perfect gift, and that you provide for our needs. We thank you that you will make things work for your good when we follow you. And we pray that our labours will not be in vain, and that we will have it in our hearts to labour for you, to show our love for you, just as Jacob was willing to labour for his Rachel. Amen.